Why should they say among the nations, where is thy God? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. If only we Christians of the true faith and church knew where is our God, not only would the pagans not have to answer that question, as Joel the prophet instructs us in today's lesson of the Mass, but as well we ourselves would, even on this dark, rainy Wednesday of fast and of abstinence and of long prayers in church, we ourselves would be full of joy. Well, children, Ash Wednesday has finally come. Lent is a little late this year, but finally the church says, blow the trumpet in Sion and call a solemn fast. But we've had a good run of it, haven't we, for Shrovetide? I mean, you had that nice little celebration yesterday, and it was a sort of a Mardi Gras or a mini carnival for us all. And now we're ready as we turn the page of the calendar for Ash Wednesday, with all that that means in the way of penance and offering up. And you've all been marked with the sign of the cross, with the blessed ash, and you'll wear that today. But not just for today. In the lesson for Friday, Isaiah the prophet will ask, is this the fast that I have chosen, quoting Almighty God, that you should afflict your soul just for one day? Oh, no. It's one day on the calendar, but it's 40 days for us, our Lent, leaving us all the way up to Easter Sunday. Tomorrow's saints, the 40 holy martyrs, are the good patron saints of keeping a good Lent, all 40 days of it. But still, regardless of how it seems to us today, the calendar has a way of moving on, doesn't it? Next week already will bring us a break. And instead of the black smudge, sure we'll be wearing the green, a little bit of a green shamrock to mark St. Patrick's Day, and a little relaxation already from our Lenten penances. And then on Saturday, the blessing of the bread in honor of him who fed with bread the Son of God himself, good Saint Joseph. His Mass we'll sing together on Saturday of next week. And then soon enough, it goes quickly, will come the triumph and the tragedy of another Holy Week. And then the wonderful celebration of Easter Sunday with your families, and then all of Eastertide, which will see us wearing blue, because it will be already Mary's month. And during that month, the world will take care of its graduations and get ready for summer vacation. But we'll be a little bit behind the world. We'll still become the month of the Sacred Heart in June, confirming and giving out first Holy Communions. And St. John's bonfire this year is going to light up our Corpus Christi on summer's longest night. And then comes our summer, too, already after its high point, vacations, and well, then there'll be the camps for the boys and for the girls, and maybe you'll get away with your family for a little trip. And soon enough, school bells will sound again, and serious September will roll around with Mary's sorrows and her rosary, making up our autumn. 40 hours, the ordination of a priest in November, which will give us cause for thanksgiving, and eventually, towards the end of December, our Christmas will catch up with the world's and will far outshine it. It will outlast it, too, all the way through Twelfth Night and Candlemas, with our parties as well as our prayers. And then guess what? Already it will be 1 year from now, and the purple will come back, and we'll return to the rails to receive the little smudge of dust on our foreheads, unless we ourselves, and it's entirely possible, will have already returned to dust in the meantime. Next year, this Wednesday, will be Washington's birthday, to start the cycle all over again. As a Catholic living in this country and in this era or time, this is pretty much the cycle of your life. And if you manage to stay alive in your soul, I mean with sanctifying grace, you will do well as you repeat it. How many times? 70 cycles or calendars you'll go through, maybe 80, and you'll have, of course, good days as well as bad. There'll be times of intense pleasure as well as prolonged pain. There will be anticipation, which gives way to the eventual dissatisfaction. There'll be moderate victories and some stunning defeats, punctuating the routine of your years. Some ecstasy, and then come the ashes and adjustments, surely, and always activities. You'll always be busy with something your whole life long. But at some point, you'll be called out of the cycle, and someone else will have to turn the pages of the calendar and do the planning for the activities. Think of your life as a pile of about 70 or 80 calendars, and that, my dear friends, is it. Or is it? If that's all there is, no wonder it is that even Christians fall away. And at some point, there has to be a midlife crisis, and we have to go away and reinvent ourselves and try something new. In the midst of all of our confusion, being pulled this way and that for all of life's different moments and challenges. But even if we stay with the faith, which is our anchor to keep us steady and solid, and we live the routine of our Christian life at church, at home, in work, in the world, in our souls, none of that can really quell the longings which are deep in our heart. A full schedule will keep us busy, but it will still fall short of satisfying the human heart. And every now and again, you'll get, as you catch your breath between activities, you'll get that funny feeling, something's missing. St. Augustine got to feeling that way finally. I mean, between his mother's tears and his own bitter disappointments, that despite all of his sinning, life still turned out to be so unsatisfactory. And he cried out one day. He cried out in a kind of a glorious, short concession speech, which led him to victory. Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. My dear friend, there is no rest for us before or after we return to ashes. There is no rest without God. And all of the rest is good, and indeed very good. The whole calendar, the whole cycle of your life, lived wholeheartedly or frittered away in pagan excess of pleasure and of sin, that's all bad and very, very bad. But nothing brings rest to the heart save God. And no one brings us God save our Savior, Jesus Christ, who came to us and comes still today through the Virgin Mary, our Mother. Why should the nations, the pagans, have to ask, "Where is thy God?" if indeed for us who believe, this He is what it is all about. Let us strive then with Mary, with Jesus. Let us strive, as St. Paul says, to enter. Let us hasten to enter into that rest. Without it, without God, the whole thing is meaningless. Something, everything is missing. The meaning of my life this Lent. Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our hearts find no rest until they rest in thee. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.